So anyway, that's how the Northstar V8 can go up to 100 miles with no cooling. You can drive it. Shuts down a single bank of cylinders at a time, only uses the other four, and it switches. It's pretty innovative.
You never had a 101 Aurora.
I do.
You don't have a 101 Aurora.
You see this? You see this? See my train conductor hat here?
You enjoy driving your Cobalt more than your Aurora.
Well, yeah.
The Sith and Jedi mind tricks work. They're great. Love his costume.
What's up, guys? Thanks for joining us. Podcast ZGP Power Hour number 182 today. 182. That was nice. It's Halloween.
We got some fresh hats.
We got some fresh hats. Those will be hitting the website.
There's a lot more ZZP features on here that you can't see in the camera right now.
Yeah, they're going to look good in the product photos. Yep. But before we get to that, we got another featured product that is on the website. It's not a Super 8 camera.
It's like one left 3800, guys. One.
Yeah, I think this might be the only one. So if you want it, go get it. We will restock. This was just our initial batch. But we got our W-Body aluminum coolant tank, which is pretty slick considering your old rusty, well, not rusty, they're plastic.
Plasticky.
Well, they get very yellow. Yeah. And we've carried the plastic one for years, and it's like number one thing I like to do on a car.
Is just refresh them.
Just refresh it.
Yep.
But now we got an awesome upgrade.
Yep. All aluminum constructed.
So my favorite part about this, if you've worked on a W-body, you'll know that these little nuts are the most interesting thread ever.
Yeah, they've got like a big coarse thread. It's the Chevy emblem on a Cobalt.
And it's the same nuts that are used on the fuel pump cover plate and a few other weird locations, but they commonly just don't work, or you lose them. And then you're like, what do I put on that? Because it's like such a coarse thread.
Yep.
So our boys in the R&D team and fab department just went ahead and sourced some new nuts, which is, I think, a super cool addition to this tank, because not only can you put it on, you're going to have fresh hardware to hold You're going to have fresh hardware to hold it to the OEM mounting location. It's got a sight glass in the front, and your OEM coolant line comes over and hooks up to this, which we should look at doing a line from the rad to this. We have it for our other platforms. That'd be a good one. And the coolest part about this tank is it's just a nice vented overflow tank. It doesn't hold any pressure, so there's just a nice little vent hole in the top, and it's just a nice expansion tank, I guess you would call it.
Powder coated wrinkle black.
As per usual.
Wrinkle black, ZZP tag on top.
And you can't really get the 99 plus coolant tanks anymore without finding a used one. Upgrade right there.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this would we put it on the website as 98 plus because that is W body.
Unfortunately, I can't buy one for the Aurora.
No,
you cannot.
What I like about it
you could put it on a 97 is what I was gonna say, but
what I like about it is I would say the coolant bottle on these cars is like the number one eyesore when you pop the hood. Yeah. And with it being that bright white and then yellow brown color, it ends up like it's a really bad number one thing to notice when you pop the hood.
Oh yeah, for sure.
This is a nice wrinkle black. It's going to kind of blend in and like, it will make you look at the right things.
Less is more.
Yep.
The cooler take is that. By the way, guys, we do have costumes up here. I saw a few guys asking why no one's dressed up. Guys, Tyler is dressed up right now. This is his costume. Tyler, stand up real quick.
Show him the back.
So, Tyler, why don't you explain to everyone the story behind this and what you got going on? Like, what are you today?
So, if you didn't hear, I came into a great deal.
Great deal.
$500 2003 Oldsmobile Aurora. Less than 100K. It's got a Northstar V8, which happened to be the same engine that they used in IndyCar for a couple years.
He's a boomer, guys. He's a car show boomer for Aurora, if you don't get
GM's.
It.
GM's. Most technologically advanced V8 they ever made until like 2015, but we're not going to talk about that. So yeah, I'm an Aurora boomer. I love Oldsmobiles.
Today he does.
Today I do. Well, I mean, I kind of really like my car so far, but it was also $500. So you can't hate a $500 car.
Exactly.
But yeah, we got Darth Maul.
Nope. I'm actually just a generic Sith. I'm an evil dark Jedi warrior because I'm evil and I fucking love it. Yeah. So
and then we got two white dudes.
I mean, it's Turbo Tim and Boosted Ball. I had it as 3,800 fanboys.
There we go.
I mean, you know what?
You got the hats. I thought you almost had the same shirt on, but
that would have been good.
That would have been good.
I don't fit in my Dino Day shirt anymore.
Whoa! What? You guys, I wish you guys see it behind the camera. We got Mike. And Mike, if you guys haven't seen the ZZP freaking, we can turn it on if you want. This is R5, I5. This is the guy I got. He's here with me, my droid. You guys see Mike behind the camera. If you haven't voted on already, go to the ZZ Performance Instagram. Do we post on Facebook too?
Yeah, I think.
Okay. So look at the stories. You'll see all of our costumes. And Mike's is great. So, yep.
But today, on number 182, we're talking haunted horsepower. And I'm going to start off with a story.
Okay, here we go.
You guys heard of James Dean, the actor, back from the 30s, 40s, 50s?
Sure.
Yep.
All right. He was famous back then, but he's been dead a long time, so it's all right if you don't. But anyway.
How did he die?
So he bought a Porsche 550 Spyder. This is back in 1955.
Expensive car?
Yeah. Pretty cool. Silver. When he bought it, his friend said, "Brother, do not get in that car. It looks like it's possessed." And he laughed it off, and he's like, "Ah, you're funny." But the guy, I don't know if he's still around, but anyway, he was like, "No, dude, that car is cursed.
Actually, cursed.
You look at it, and it's got some evil energy around it."
Oof.
So James Dean took it out to a road race the next week, slid it into a tree, and died.
Fucking what?
R.I.P. So then the car, obviously, was totaled, went to a salvage yard. Some guy bought it. He thought, you know, Porsche.
How bad can it be?
Engine and a trans. I'm going to take that. So he takes the engine. He gives the transmission to his buddy. He puts the engine in his Lotus. His buddy puts the transmission to another car. Buddy crashes the car. Survives. Then the next week, the guy who took the engine crashes the car into a tree and dies. Then,
what the
continues.
Fuck?
Oh, yeah. Continues. Then someone took two of the tires from that car, put it on their car. Both tires blew out at the same time. Then, from there, somebody donated the chassis to, the NHSA, the National Health and Safety, whoever deals with, seatbelts in cars.
Yeah.
So they put it on display. But on the way to the display, the guy who was loading it on the truck fell on him, crushed him.
The car fell on him?
Yep. Then it ended up at the museum, and in the museum, it fell and crushed somebody as well.
No way.
Yeah.
That car's actually fucking haunted. Yeah. Excuse me. That car's actually haunted.
So it keeps going.
After I gotta
all
hear
this.
I'm so
after it's
I'm
fallen in. On people, and then at one point, apparently it caught fire, but there was almost no fire damage. Just the tires melted, and everything else was fine. Spoopy. I don't know. So then they decided to transport it somewhere else, some other museum. They put it on a boxcar on a railway, sent it across the country. Someone stole it. It's never been seen since.
No, dude, that's a ghost car right now, and it's coming to haunt whoever talks about it. It's crawling. You know how the Ring girl crawls out of your TV? It's crawling out of your garage tonight, and that's it. You talked about it. You're done.
So apparently, I can't remember, but somebody put out a reward in 2005 to try and find the car, and no one has ever spoken up since it got stolen.
I've heard bits of that story.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Dude,
wild.
That is a crazy
story.
Every
aspect of it was something negative.
Yeah, that's wild.
So that's a cursed car. That's haunted horsepower back then.
Man, I thought I had some old haunts myself, but whoa, that is insane.
I'll give you the cliff notes of Ryan Klein, our mechanics.
Yep.
Haunted horsepower.
Was it his Jetta?
It's his Jetta.
Oh, I know this story.
How did I know?
I do not know this story.
I love it.
I don't know all of it. I just know that there was two incidences, maybe three.
Okay.
Something to do with a cemetery. He crashed into a cemetery. It broke down in a cemetery.
Oh. Yeah, broke down in a cemetery.
And then he was driving one time, ended up off the road, barely missed a tree. When he got out, there was three crosses there where somebody else had also crashed and died.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there was maybe something else, but he got rid of it.
He did the right thing. Send that thing to the scrapyard, my guy. Absolutely not.
So, Tim, I speaking of haunted cars, you know, we obviously work on a lot of cars around here. There's one story that I remember Zoom's telling quite a bit, and you know, you were around for the for this, but it was some car that somebody brought here, and it was a Grand Prix, I believe. That
early in the modern days.
Yeah, wouldn't make horsepower, horsepower.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we have this customer. I can't say names, but he had this Grand Prix, a super nice Grand Prix, like nicer than all of our cars. Had a bunch of custom gauges molded into the dash. Super nice car.
Some 2000s Fast and Furious.
Yeah, yeah.
Love it.
For sure.
Nice.
You know, probably the Autometer white faced, Phantom 1 gauges or something, you know.
About the time he was balling.
Yeah. A sweet car. Like, if we could find that in a time capsule now, like, all of us would be like, this is sweet.
Yeah.
But anyway, his car was never fast. He was like, you know what, Zoom? I'm going to go to ZZP and I'm going to buy your engine and trans and put it in my car and I'm going to be fast. And, you know, they worked out some deal to where he was like, I don't have any secrets. I don't run any secret parts in this car. Okay, here's a dollar amount. And this guy comes, and it was nothing ridiculous.
Yep.
It's not like this dude was super rich or anything. But it was a good fair price for the whole build. And then they give Zoom another go.
Yeah.
So which is cool. So we throw this engine in the car, and we slap it on the dyno. I wish Matt was here. He could chime in with some like actual numbers.
Oh, the details.
Yeah. But the car made like 290 wheel horsepower.
Oof.
But a full M90 build. Like,
right, when Zoom was close to 400 wheel.
Yeah, like close to 400.
Probably on a Gen 3.
Like, yeah, Gen 3 blower. Yeah. And we're just like, what the heck is going on here? And we're just doing pulls, checking stuff. We can't figure it out. And it comes down to it was... I think like a resonator or a cat.
Yeah.
Yep. And we basically...
You actually might be right on the resonator.
The dyno shop was ready to close down and be done for the day. And we're like, we got to figure this out. And this customer is furious. Like, he was like, you know...
Because we didn't have a dyno back then.
You know, yeah. He's starting to like lose his faith in ZZP. You know? And finally, we're like, okay, let us back the car off the dyno. And we'll drop the exhaust and we'll see like how the boost changes and whatnot.
Yep.
And they're like, fine, do that. You get one pull. And he drops the cat back off the headers, pulls it back on the dyno, and it gains like 100 wheel. Like the car, I think it actually only made like 260 or 270 actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, like did that. And then the car was fast as heck. And like, we're just like, oh, well, that's crazy. Nowadays, like, we're so much better, and we have so many more brains in ZZP that, like, we would diagnose that much quicker.
In an afternoon, we'd be through that problem.
Yeah, yeah, like, and we did then, too, but, like, there was a lot of head scratching to where now we would figure this out in, like, 15 minutes.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, we're pretty used to it.
Which like, I'd say once a year we work through some silly exhaust restriction on a car. You know, because that's the first thing. When we hit a problem, it's like, we got to change something.
Yeah. And because that's the cool thing about ZZP. Like, we get so many cars here that you guys can't figure out. And a lot of you customers, probably way most of our customers, put together a good car, runs good, drives good, gets tuned well, and it's a good car. Mm-hmm. But there are quite a few people out there that can't figure their car out.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I'm not knocking them. I'm not saying that they're not like good at doing it, but like, everybody makes mistakes, myself included. Like, you make a mistake and like you miss something. Like, we had one of our buddies that had a Mustang and he paid to put an X pipe or an H pipe in his exhaust. And the muffler shop put it in 180 degrees off to where the car didn't make any power because it was running the exhaust through the H pipe the wrong way. Like, it was some wild configuration. And I honestly can't think of,
he talks shit sometimes.
I can't think of like how it was, but like basically back in the day we didn't have lifts.
Yeah.
Like we do now.
Yeah.
And the car finally got put on a lift and we're like, oh,
you know? What's going on there?
So I mean, it's so easy for you or somebody that touches your car to make a simple mistake that it takes you weeks or hours or you know, you're ready to pull your hair out. Your wife's ready to divorce you. Like,
whoa.
No, it's true.
Because you're stressed about this car. You've got so much money into it. And
you're one wrong move away from 100% success.
Yep.
And it's wild when we do run into those cars that are underperforming. Because that's the cool thing about ZZP is we have really good baselines for all the mods, all the packages.
We know what it should make.
We really do.
In this range.
I mean, it doesn't matter if it's Tyler, myself, or Tim. We're on the dyno, 2-3 pulls in.
You're like,
we know.
Yeah, you know something's wrong.
And so the cool thing is usually when you, I'll just use the term uncork that issue. All of the issues go away. It's like such a small thing, you know, an exhaust restriction, some vacuum lines being routed wrong. And all of a sudden it's like, boom,
everything works.
The nice performing car this customer strived to build, you know, and
it could be something as dumb as like, and I've seen this here. Somebody backed into a curb somehow and ended up damaging their exhaust to where they were like, oh, no big deal, you know, whatever. And then they forgot about it. But then we put it on a lift here and we're like, holy crap. Like this thing is kinked.
Yeah.
Well, or how about this one now, Bo? We had a customer come here a few months ago, a 1.4 car. They built it themselves, like mostly themselves, and they piece built it like we all do.
Yeah.
Like all of us.
One mod at a time.
Yeah. One mod at a time. I put the car on the dyno. It's a Sonic with all the mods, like it's assumed it has everything, right? It's got our cams and ZO4 turbo, and I think the thing made like 195.
Ooh,
and I'm like,
yeah, this is what I was gonna say.
This thing is off. Like it's an auto 1.4 with a ZO4 on probably E85 at the time. This thing is like 50 wheel horsepower from where it should be, and we're just scratching our heads, and finally, I mean, I can't even take credit. One of our mechanics, Mr. Boltman, was bore scoped his intake manifold and found out that he just never bought our ported intake.
Yep.
So our ported intake, which is an OEM intake that we spend about 35 minutes probably grinding the walls out of it, gained like 45 or 50 wheel horsepower.
Because
why?
Not because.
Because it was
the restriction.
Your engine is an air pump. And it requires everything to flow very well. Mm-hmm. And if you miss one crucial thing like that.
Not that that's worth 45 wheel on a stock car.
No.
He's done everything but.
But that.
It is single digit horsepower on a stock car. I think it's like 5 to 7 wheel on a stock car.
I felt a little bump in Erica's car when I put the ported one on.
Yeah.
You know, just a little.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that story. It was the next one.
I was going to say the ported
intake manifold one. Also, the muffler thing and the haunted power it does bring. Yes.
Talking about the Rivi?
Yes.
Yeah.
We've had a good customer, a Riviera, that's been in here.
Dang.
I'm just going to say better half of 10 years. And we do this and that's on it when he needs, and he comes back. A little grumpy. He says, you know, man, like I've done the stuff and I don't have the results. I'm like, all right, you know what? You're right.
That's right.
We'll figure this out.
It was after you came out with the road to 300 or road to 400.
Yes, we dropped it. And he's like, I'm not.
I have all this stuff.
I have all of that.
He's like, you described my car and I'm not there. What's the deal, boys? So, you know, we're going along. Well, he had actually had a cutout on the car. And it was, you know, we're not usually big fans of cutouts. I think unless you spend a lot of money on them, they usually suck.
Yeah, they usually
And a lot of times, they can hurt your power. Because that exhaust has a flow path. And if you put it in the wrong spot, you can literally cause a restriction,
a
velocity problem,
so
where it hurts horsepower.
We're going along. Like, tune's going good. You know, we had tidied up a lot of stuff, a lot of this and that's on the car, the vacuum lines, making sure it had the right pulley, remove some intercooler restrictions.
Just tidying it up,
you know. And we're on the dyno and it's working. I'm like, oh, we're definitely struggling to get to that goal. And I'm like, you know, open the cutout, and it sucks on the dyno with an open cutout because you can't hear nothing. And usually we're running a wide band through the tailpipe too, so you lose the wide band because you know we have a bung in the tailpipe that we run. So if we're bypassing all the exhaust, the wide band's not accurate. So it's usually not a good thing. The last thing you would do is open the cutout. So that's what we did, and bam, there's our 50 wheel horsepower we've been missing for 10 years. And it's not that Buddy hasn't been driving around with all his power. It just was never dynoed with the cutout open.
Yeah, so he didn't get the
number. Or he added it after the last dyno. I don't know all the details on it, but like there it was. And the craziest thing is you get under the car, you look at the exhaust. There was no reason for that exhaust to be robbing him 50 wheel.
Something nice like Borla mufflers. I mean, obviously a Riviera they didn't make.
Well, it was actually Flowmasters.
Okay, yep.
But the cool thing was is it was a straight through style Flowmaster, not a chambered Flowmaster. I don't know if it was necessarily the muffler, but it had a big being a Riviera, it had a big 3-inch pipe that ran all the way down the center of the car through the middle cradle area. And there was a Y pipe there, and we haven't cut into it yet. We were talking about redoing his exhaust. I'm wondering if they cheated the Y pipe too much.
So it was super tiny.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
I got another funny one to that. We had a customer come in once, underperforming car again. He had a 3800 car. So it was a downpipe to a 3-inch center section resonator delete all the way to the Y. Right. And it was clamped around the Y and it looked good. Everything looked good. And then the car just didn't perform. And finally I'm like, you know, let's cut the exhaust off this car. So we end up cutting the exhaust, and all of a sudden my mechanic's like, wow, this is cutting really hard. There was like 4 to 5 feet of original exhaust inside the 3-inch tube.
So they went around.
Yes.
What?
How? So you were double exhaust pipe. So the exhaust would flow into the pipe and only like and go around the stock one. And some would kind of go down the middle.
What? That's just impressively bad.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like there's a lot of work that went into being that bad.
Yeah.
Like, you have to slip it over the exhaust.
And that's the joke. Like, when we, you know, I don't mean to insult Muffler Man because I can't say like Muffler Man is at fault. But like, you understand probably what I mean when I say, you know, a Muffler Man exhaust is not the best option.
Yeah. Yeah.
These guys just are wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, exhaust work. And you're like, I want a 3-inch exhaust.
Yep.
They don't give a crap about velocity.
Nope.
They don't care about any of that. They just get it done. And like, it looked like it worked because it clamped around it and it was lap welded around the Y pipe. Like, it seemed like it was working.
That's so much.
Say, I'm still stuck on the fact. So the factory exhaust is in the middle of this exhaust.
Yes.
You have to slide it its pipe over.
Ryan, and here's the thing. It's in the wrong direction. It's not small to big. It's they big, put big, big to over small. Small.
Yeah.
That's
so you've got like a.
What
a weird baffle!
Yeah,
that I'm sure exhaust is going this way and that way, and
it's fighting.
This does goes to show you that it's not. It's like Tim said earlier, the car people want to treat cars like a addition problem. Like I got this part, this part, this part, this part, this
cane
part.
And intake.
Yeah, this has 15. This has 10. When that's not how cars work. Cars definitely. It is about the entire setup of this. This four
the
six,
air pump.
Seven, yeah.
And
yeah.
Everything in the
everything.
Line of that air pump.
And, you know,
how the build works together.
Yeah. We have a lot of customers who, you know, they buy a lot of parts, they come to us for advice, and then they might stray off a bit. And I don't blame you. I mean, we've all done that.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a reason that we recommend you the parts that we do because we know that they work together. And that they're going to be a cohesive package. And yeah, you might have the same mod sheet as somebody else, but you know it's going to work.
So
over and over again.
Like we can
throw it on any car in the back, and it'll be good to go.
What about a little more recently, where this isn't necessarily a haunted story, but just on the topic of chasing those numbers.
Yep.
We had like one of the most well-sorted supercharged Cobalts in the world.
Oh, yeah.
In the shop the other day.
Yep.
And we changed the air filter.
Yeah.
And picked up 12 horsepower.
Yeah.
On a max effort car. And it wasn't like 220.
No.
It was
no, what? It was 470 wheel on a blower Cobalt.
And we put we took a reputable brand filter. Took a reputable brand filter off the car, put ours on it just because we're playing around, striving performance.
So he's been here before, came back, fresh engine, not a new build, but like obviously fresh engines, he's very detail oriented, you know, got all these this and that's that we're like, okay, this is going to be like, we can do this, you know, that it's going to break its last power record, blah, blah, blah. And we get it on, and not that he was disappointed, but all of us were kind of like, thought it might do a little more, you know? And then Adam was like, let's change the filter. Like, the filter seems a little small. You never know. Why not? Yeah. We're already here. Throws on one of our AF7s and picks up 12 wheel. Whee! I mean, and 12 wheel on 450 plus that's, you know,
470 wheel, yeah. Well, no, that's huge thing too. Again, it's all these little small mods. Like, who would have thought? Like, it can't be the first time Timmy's seen all the years that an air filter has caused a problem.
Yeah. Like, I mean, for example, my Sonic. Like, my Sonic's making 370 wheel right now, and I'm kind of maxed out the boost for the turbo that I have on it. So I don't want to turn up the boost more because I want the turbo to last a long time. It's a EFR, so it's a nice turbo.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm starting to work on the little details. Like, you know, my exhaust has one little spot where it drops to 2.5 and then back up to 2.5. I'm going to get rid of that. And then the air filter. I have a 3-inch intake on it. I'm like, well, 370 wheel, I'm potentially at a point to where I could gain from a larger intake. So I bought a 3.5-inch tube, and I'm looking all over for like a good flowing 3.5-inch air filter that'll still fit in our airbox. Mm-hmm. And I like find one, and I'm like, cool. I order it up, and I get it, and it's freaking terrible. I almost made an NC-17 here. Like, it's freaking terrible. It was a foam filter that was round, and it like it was 3.5. But there was no airfoil, flow into it, which all of our ZZP air filters have. That's probably where the 12 horsepower came from.
It's we got had them engineered
in a bell mouth
with a bell mouth inside the air filter, and that's crucial. So it's like I'm obviously not going to put that filter on the car, but like so many people are not. I don't want to insult anybody because like. All of us at this table have been this stupid before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All
absolutely.
Of us have. And like, you just don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I got it. I've been in cars for a while. I've learned lessons on myself. I've learned lessons from customers.
Yeah.
Like, you guys probably don't realize how many lessons we learn from you customers emailing us crazy stories.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and we appreciate
every
them.
Month.
Like, you know, so I saw that. I'm like, I already foresee a problem. Like, I can't use this filter. So I'm going to have to explore another route. And it's no big deal. But, like, we're always learning here.
Yep.
And, you know, and I understand the idea of wanting a unique build.
Yep.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
It could be unique and not perform when you're done.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it is kind of nice going to the big fish, let's say, and being like, hey, guys, what do I do?
Yeah.
And like, and there are a lot of mods that you don't need to buy that like we sell stuff that you don't need to buy. Just email us and be like, I want this power. How do I get there? And Ryan or T-Span or Tyler, like, you know. Or Bo or I will tell you this, and this.
Yep.
And then you'll be like, do I need this? And I'd be like, no, not really.
Save your money for something else.
Yeah.
It's like our motto is go fast, not broke.
Yes.
Can I talk about the filters a little more? I don't want to make this a filter promo, but I think it's
Haunted
so
Filters
cool.
by GCP.
Two things, personal experiences. The other day, Randy's been working on some filter stuff, improving our air filters.
Yes.
Because, you know, we're always tinkering on stuff. And Randy's got some good ideas that we're going to try and throw at all of our air filters. But he brings in our Turbo 3800 air filter. And it literally looks like this. I mean, it's this big.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, how many pounds a minute does this filter flow for you? And I was like, 67 pounds a minute. And he's like, oh, okay, that's pretty good. But it's very, there's a lot of tight packaging on a turbo kit and a 3800 to get it behind the headlight there. And, you know, so we're going to work on improving it. But secondly, I also run our 3800 9-inch filter with the pre-filter, the waterproof, yep, dustproof, mm-hmm, deal, on my truck, 6.0 truck with a cam in it. And it revs to 6,500 RPM with like 98 kPa.
Nice.
Size.
So, you know, for those of you that don't know, around 100 kPa would be atmospheric pressure in the intake manifold.
Assumed you're around sea level.
Right.
Yeah. You which mountain we are, guys, obviously, it's a lot
which
less.
Which we are here. And it's like 0.2 to 0.5 kPa off. What atmosphere is through our, you know, a 6-liter motor with, yeah, a cam motor at 6,500 RPM through our 3,800 filter and the dust element over top of it.
Uh-huh. That's actually really impressive.
Isn't it not?
Yeah, because yeah. LS V8s, like when I tune them, they rarely are ever that high a KPA.
Really? Yeah.
I'm 89,
exactly.
93. Like,
high 90s, 95 plus KPA, yeah, in a naturally aspirated application.
So what you want to do if you have scanning software is like start your car and just let it run, start a scan. Look at your baro, see what it says. Mm-hmm. It's going to say, you know, I don't know, 14.2, you know, something, yeah, like that. If you're in the mountains, I don't know, high 11s, let's say. And then like, so you have a good baseline of what it is at idle. Your baro on all the cars I tune are in the intake. Mm-hmm. Is that correct for LSJ?
No, baro's external on the LSJ.
Ah, that sucks. Yeah. So this only works for you multi-sensor guys like the Sonics and the ATSs, the ATSVs. They have a multi-sensor, not a MAF sensor, but we just call it a MAF sensor because everybody knows what we mean when we say that.
LSJ Regals have it too, I believe.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you're correct. So then go full throttle. Look at what that baro says at full throttle and then see like what, and then start playing around with your intake and see if you can increase that. Mm-hmm. Obviously talk to your tuner before you go changing your intake because you definitely need to keep an eye on your tune. But if that gets too low, you're giving up power.
Yeah. If you know, as close at, especially in an NA car, as close as you can get to atmospheric, yes, is the better. I mean, cause obviously boost positive pressure. That's where you, yeah, get your most gains. You don't want vacuum within that. I want to switch to another haunted,
yep,
horsepower story that I know you remember.
Oh.
And I know you remember. So we
Thankfully,
had
it was right before me.
It was right
I
before
would
Bo.
Have a little less hair.
Oh,
so we, man, had this certain.
However, I would do wish I was here.
Yeah,
I would have. I would have liked to help you boys figure it out.
Yeah. I don't know. We snipped out a lot of things.
Yeah, we
said you're so lucky you missed that. On that.
I have an idea what he's talking about. It's
so Cobalt turbo swap LSJ full everything.
Yep,
everything. I mean,
military money. So he basically gave us a blank check.
Yeah, and if you're listening, we still love you. Obviously, yep, you'll recognize your car from the story, but kind of wild. So. We do everything, build the engine, F40, full turbo swap, E85. I mean, this thing should be making
550 plus.
Yeah, 500, 550 plus. Get it on the dyno. I think it made under 4.
It was, first pull was under 4.
Yeah, it was low, where everybody was like, oh.
Yeah, when I heard the numbers, I remember like...
Huh?
Dude,
Ryan's like,
is
glad I'm in customer service.
Yeah. LNF Master Race.
Yeah, I was going to say, ah. Yes,
again. So, you know, the guys, and I mean, I'm talking, everybody kind of comes in on this. And
yeah,
this is, mm-hmm, I mean, 7-8 years ago, whenever. Yep, it was the first year I started. And everybody's talking it over. They're like, okay, well, let's try this. Change the PCM. Cool. Do that. Same power. Change this, drop the exhaust. We know that story. Did that, same power.
Right, you threw the playbook at,
yeah,
it.
We do
everything one at a time, like A, B, C, okay.
Then we went way back to the playbook.
Yeah. Then literally went, okay. We have the same setup on a different car.
Yep.
It makes XYZ. Well, let's take everything.
Literally everything.
Not just the engine, not just the turbo.
Not just the trans.
Yeah, and this is after everything's been picked in parts and, you know. Let's take the whole front end of a Delta chassis car.
The cradle and all.
Cradle and all. Suspension, brakes, everything.
Yeah, because that's important. Brakes. The drivetrain. Yeah.
Tires, wheels,
yes.
Everything.
Yes.
Put it into another car, and it picked up, I don't remember the exact number, but it was 100 to 150 wheel.
Yeah.
And then we went, oh, all right. Put it back into the other car, and it was down 100 to 150 wheel.
Yep.
And it was a nice car.
Yeah,
it was,
really
it was not
nice.
A, that's the, it was not a car that you look at and you're like, oh, wow, that's a piece of crap.
Wait.
That's the most unfortunate part is it's always the nice one.
Yeah.
It's always the nice one
yeah.
that Buddy put so really? Much love into.
Yeah.
He paid a lot of money for the build or the car itself,
yeah.
you know, like, oh, this is going to be a good example. I'm following the rules. And then you just get a guy in here that...
That,
up,
put it together 37 minutes before.
Brother,
yeah.
And he had something over here from so and so, and it's
got
just like
Taco Bell on the back seat.
Yep.
Pile hot, makes 1,000 horse. Oh my god! Yeah. Now wait, I thought it was another part to that one. I thought, memory serves, we put that new engine in, and it still made the same power, if memory serves. And then we put it back in the old car, and the power came back.
Oh, it,
like if.
No. I don't think it ever did.
I don't think it
because
did.
Because I think our answer was there's something wrong with your car that we can't figure
yeah,
out.
Yeah, like the wiring or...
Yeah. Because we swapped harnesses because the employee that was mainly in charge of that car had the same car.
Yeah.
So, like, he was swapping parts from his car onto the customer car
yeah.
and, like, still
yeah.
not helping.
Yeah.
I had a similar build, an LSJ turbo... F40 everything.
Okay.
Everything. Military money again.
Yep.
This was back when all the military guys were coming back from, you know, one of the overseas situations.
Yep.
And this car gets done and I go to dyno and it makes like it's a turbo swap with a good sized turbo. It makes like 300 wheel.
Mm.
And I'm like, So I'm like talking between people, we're swapping downpipes out, we're dropping exhaust. We, you know, we tried a different turbo on it. We, you know, couldn't figure it out. We swapped transmissions because we thought maybe it's a bad F40 with some kind of parasitic issue.
Okay.
We swapped transmissions. Still doesn't make power. So finally, I'm like, well, this guy has a immaculate, beautiful car. Like any one of us at this table, even Ryan, would drive this LSJ. And
he would.
And I'm like,
I know,
absolutely not. I'm not giving up on this car. So we took that engine and tranny and everything out of it. And I took that engine. I set it on the floor and I said, build me another engine. So Todd at the time was our engine builder, built me another engine, threw it in there. Magic made power. So we took that engine and we documented. These rods went in this engine. These pistons went in this engine.
Wow.
This block went in this engine. And we never did figure it out.
Because separately, it all worked together, right? Like all the parts separate out.
Yeah.
I believe that everything worked.
We never found a problem. Huh. I mean, the only thing I could think of now, like, is maybe was there a reluctor wheel issue?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
the timing was off with the computer to where... Because, I mean, it wouldn't take a ton... To like look
yeah.
like everything
yeah.
is fine, but it's not.
Yeah, tooth off.
Yeah, sometimes absolutely. Just a tooth.
I don't think a timing chain. I'm like, what if the reluctor was
actually spun?
Was wrong
yeah.
or something?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what if it was drilled wrong? I don't know, but like we never did find the part that was like
you're
this
the issue.
Is it.
Yeah.
We had another car that had a ghost problem. I mean, we have had thousands of customer cars here by now.
Yeah.
Thousands.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it sounds like this probably doesn't sound great, but just know we've had thousands of cars here. You know, we had a car that had a bad F40.
It's really hard.
We couldn't figure out. The car performed fine. We put an F40 in, it didn't perform fine.
Hmm.
We were like, well, obviously, it's either us in our hands and what we touched or the transmission is a problem. So I ended up making the call and I'm like, let's just stick another F40 in it. Stuck another F40 in it. Everything was great. And then that F40 just went in scrap bin. Like at that time we didn't
have bad juju.
We didn't have a Chris Boltman here to like pull it apart and figure it out. So that trans just went in the scrap bin.
On the topic of Chris Boltman and the guys, the mechanics, they are always in the middle of our crazy ideas and performing car.
Oh yeah.
And just shouts to those guys, because
motherfucking
when they put together an entire car and it underperforms, you know, they take it serious. Wears on them. It's personal.
Oh yeah.
What a good way to say it. And then they just, you know, you got to take it back apart.
Yeah.
And we're just like, well, we got to change a variable. You know, that's our big thing, is we got to change something.
Yep.
And, you know, so we do, based on our calculations and our just how we've done this, and like, hopefully it's the right direction. And, you know, it pays off or it doesn't, but we just keep going until it's done.
Yep. Yeah, those guys are absolutely amazing when it comes to that stuff.
Just keep going until it's done, man.
Yep. We're passionate.
You can't give up. That's the thing, is we can't give up.
Yeah, we're not going to give up on
there's
that.
There's no option of just like, man, I just don't feel like
it. Speaking of that too, what I do love, speaking of Chris Bowman, he's a believer in the bad juju. If you said, bad juju, get it out of here.
Yep,
he has said that. I've heard him say that multiple times. Yeah. If there's a part that gives him the squiggly wigglies, he is yeeting that part out of there. He's like, get it out. Nope. Said, bad, get out of it. Get out of it. Give him something else. And I don't think he's been wrong yet.
Like, yeah, maybe not. Like, what I will admit is your guys' cars have made us lose sleep.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know. Shoot. This happens. We take this personal.
I just shipped one yesterday that made me lose sleep, man. Yep. Like, they don't stop coming.
Nope.
Yeah.
It's just, and you know what, though? It always pays off in the end, you know, because customer came, finally picked it up after, you know, double as long as I wanted it to be here. And the cool thing is, I think, is I've never ran into anybody that hasn't been willing to work with us through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the best thing you can do is just give us a little patience. Let us run through our checks and balances. Ultimately, there's always going to be a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yep.
It's just a little, sometimes it's hard getting there.
If you work with us, we will always take care of you. That's been our model since day one. Me being a customer, one of my first experiences was ZZP. When I got one of the first T3 manifold cars that it's, you know, for the LNF out there. It had some weird PCV issues. That was no fault of ZZP's. Matt Meekoff himself stayed late changing a clutch over because he thought it was a clutch. And this was like 8, 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, your car had another crazy problem, too. One of your injector seals.
Oh, yeah.
That had a scratch in our head for a while.
Yeah.
This dude brings his car in sounding like it's blown up.
Yeah.
It sounded like it had like an exhaust leak on a hole.
Yeah. But it was loud. It was like, it wasn't like just a misfire. It wasn't a dead cylinder. But it sounded like an extremely loud rod knock in one cylinder.
Like, it sounded like a rod
leaving
knock.
The engine.
Exactly, yeah.
It sounded like a rod knock. That's really where we really thought that's what it was. But it kind of had a sound like if you drilled like a quarter inch hole on one primary of your header or manifold.
Okay, yeah.
And we're like, what the heck is going on? Because he had an LNF that is not a flex fuel car.
Not a flex fuel car.
So the O-rings in the DI injectors of an LNF are not E85 safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They are in the Opal and the Regal.
This is before the Regal, Opals.
Regal has E85 safe ones because that car is a flex car. So, you know, Ryan ended up with those when they were available, but that was one of those head scratchers. We never had that. And I've never seen it again.
So
combustion was coming out the injector hole.
I was doing a lot of racing in a perfectly legal way and not against fast cars and trying to prove that Cobalt can smash some expensive cars. And I was doing it very often. It was totally legal. 100% legal.
Of course.
But yeah, I remember I finished racing a car, and I remember it was on a 445, and I threw it in the fifth in a totally legal fashion. It was dead even racing.
I mean, Mexico's like 2,000 miles
away. Oh, yeah, dude, that's what I was saying.
Well, you were in fifth at like 15% throttle.
Yeah, of course, 50% throttle.
Down
never,
miles per hour.
Never flooring this thing. Never dang near Nolan shifting it. And the car drove, and all of a sudden I hear this, I'm like, it's blowed up. Hold on. So, you know, time to get back to ZZP.
Yep.
But the car drove. It drove great. The car still drove just fine. There's no real check engine lights with it. Nothing really. Oh. So then I kept it out. So I was like, hey, guys.
This is weird.
What's going on? They're like, I'll bring it back up. We'll see. So I dropped it off, you know, in the middle of summer. And all of a sudden, you know, it was a few weeks went by, like a month or so. And all of a sudden, I get a text from Tim. He's like, dude, you'll never believe it. I'm like, what? It's like, well, we changed your engine out. We changed the whole engine twice. It still didn't fix it. We changed like three other things. And the last thing that we never changed any on was your injectors.
Was the injectors.
And he pulled it out, and it's one injector. There's one OEM
that
LNF.
Little tiny seal.
Yeah, it was because it was both of them. It looked, it was bad. It looked like, I don't even have a good metaphor for it. It looked terrible. And they put open thing, and I said, and then boom. It's
yep.
Great. It was great.
And that's still the motor that's in the car today?
It sure is. It absolutely is. Absolutely. What do you mean?
At the end, happily ever after.
Happily ever after. Snow car here. Bye.
What's cool about that is, like, I hear some of these stories. I'm like, God, we're freaking idiots. Like, it took us so long to figure this stuff out. But
well, when
you know,
it's the first time for something, man.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, that was years and years ago. And if we heard this noise now, we'd be like,
that's
well,
right
it's
there.
Not like
that's
you that. Can call anybody.
No, we are the people you call. We're the
we're
ones.
The, we're the last one. Like, what do you
ZZB?
Figure it out. Yeah? What do we do? No.
Like, literally, it's not like, sorry, Grand Prix guys. It's like, hey, can you guys call some Grand 100 experts? Yeah, that's us. That's me when you call.
So,
that's us.
On that topic, though, there is a lot of haunted ones that show up.
Oh, yeah.
That are not a problem.
Yeah.
Because it's fun when they're like haunted just enough.
It's like a little ghost.
To scare the heck out of the customer.
But we're like.
And then, like, you know, you'll be talking with them. And obviously they need to bring it in. And you're like, just this could be bad. And then as soon as it gets here and you see it, you're like.
I'm like, ha! Gotcha. You're done. All right, go.
You're like, all right. We just need Ryan on it. Yep. For like
paid.
9 to lunch. And then we'll put Matt on it.
Yep.
And then you'll be like, wow.
I do agree with you. Like, it is really satisfying because some customers they just have problems. And again, it's not, you know, there's various levels of mechanical expertise out there. It's not a problem. We've had multiple customers saying, this is broken, another, I'm bringing it to you guys. And we have it done in less than an hour.
Yeah.
Like, hey man,
or have you know, whatever.
The pin for your flex fuel sensor was bad.
Yep.
Oh no! It's sorry. It was swapped around.
I told it perfectly.
Yeah. So yeah. Just oh yeah. No.
We've had so many flex fuel ones. I swear on my mother's life that I pinned it right, and then you go and it's the wrong connector.
Yeah.
Or like the wrong hole. Like it's just like the flex fuel ones are
that's
my
a big
most
one.
Common.
It's like above what a lot of people do.
So
wirings.
There's one right now that me and Tyler Spain are trying to get to come up to us. It's an ATS customer. He was helping someone else that is not here any longer. But he was told a while, like 4 years ago, that there was an issue that he needs to fix with his car.
Okay.
So he's been driving on his flex fuel kit, swearing it's a PCM tune for 4 years.
Ah.
4 years now. Hey man, you're in Wisconsin. Just bring it to us. We will have this car fixed in a day.
Yeah.
I promise. And he's kind of resisting us right now, but we're like, hey,
hopefully he gets there.
Get the car to us. This is something that we guarantee we can fix. We looked at his file. The flex fuel is turned on the file. Everything's on the everything file wise looks like it should be good.
Yep.
But he's saying he still doesn't have a flex sensor. He thinks the flex fuel sensor is bad. We replaced that, and that's still bad, and it's still giving the same reading. Like, hey man, there's a pain going on.
Diag's tough when you're not familiar with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why you bring it to us, because we are good at it. Mm-hmm.
So we've got about 10 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? I know, 4:50. Weird.
Coolant tank.
Get a coolant tank.
Buy this last one. We'll sign it.
You know that thing's
it.
Already sold.
Bill
that
Kish?
Already
Bill Kish?
We'll sign it if you come in here and say that you got the last one.
Nobody wants our signature.
That's not true. We literally sold like two of them the last time we did that.
Personally haunted cars. Out of all of the ones that you've owned, what's the worst? And I'll start. I had it when I started here. It was that stupid Ion.
Oh, yeah, that Ion was bad.
The gray one.
That one was real
so
bad.
So before I worked here, I had my base model. You know,
Tim's punishing himself over there right now. In the car. He goes,
I got one.
He goes, thanks, Tyler. Yeah,
you know,
I'll talk about it.
I can't wait.
I had my base model, and I was like, I want an LSJ. I want a blower car. All right, cool. So I go down to the middle of nowhere. I should have known. Immediately, we get to this dude's house, show up, And it's like 10 o'clock at night, and he's like, yeah, you want to, you know, I was like, okay, yeah, let's see if it runs. Fires it up, and he's like, you want to go for a test drive? And I was like, okay. He gets in the driver's seat, won't let me drive it. I get in the passenger seat, Eric gets in the back. We're in like, this is down near Benton Harbor, like, but kind of middle of nowhere area.
Yeah.
And he turns out of his park and gets on the main road and gets on the next road and just weep, 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 weep. Like all the way through Fourth. We're going down this black, like pitch black country road, 110 plus, and he's just like, weep.
Oh. Ballsy.
And Erica's in the back, you know, like holding on for dear life.
Ballsy.
Turn right I took.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I see it works. This is cool. Let's go back.
He's like, wee dee 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 dee. You want me to keep going? Dee 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 dee.
Yep. Oh, and so we get back to the dude's house, and I was like, yeah. Here's your $2,000. Okay. Thank you.
Here's your $2,000.
Yeah. So I hand over the $2,000.
Thanks for not killing us.
And like I said,
I'll buy it. Just let me out.
Yeah, just get me out of here.
I'll take this shit box off your hands.
And you don't know the guy, so you don't want to be like, okay, okay, okay. You know, you're just like,
yeah, yeah.
So I hand it over, and like I said, it's night. So I'm like looking at in the dim lighting of, you know, his house lights.
Yeah.
And then we get it to the gas station. I'm like, oh, no.
No!
Crap. So anyway, drive it home. And after that, it was just a pile of problems.
That thing
the whole time
was an S-Box.
It was the biggest S-Box ever. Somebody had, like, sprayed it in their garage with, like, hairspray.
Yeah.
So it looked good, and all the clear fell off. And then at one time, there was a bunch of ants living in it, and it had – I went through, like, four throttle bodies, and it should have been long gone before I even got into it.
I remember –
went through three transmissions.
It went through a bunch of transmissions. We went to Gingerman together in that car.
Yeah, and like, both rear calipers leaked. Like, I was out on road course with leaky rear.
I remember I was on the snow car and you were there. I remember getting a chance. Oh, this would be fun. We'll have fun. And I saw, I'm like, where the fuck is Tyler at?
Oh, this wasn't haunted, but it was one of my dumb stories. So, I wanted an exhaust on the car, obviously. You know,
yeah.
I'm young. And I happened to have a cobalt exhaust. And I was like, well, cobalt and iron, they're the same exact thing. Put the cobalt exhaust on. It's like this short of the rear bumper. Well, the clamp that I used didn't hold very well where the flex, or not the flex, but the joint goes over the beam.
Oh!
And the center part went up and touched the gas tank.
Oh!
And I went to Grid Life for the first time. And I came back in from my like second session and I was like, ooh, man, this thing smells like gas. Weird. And I parked it and it's just I had melted through the gas tank,
dude. That's multi-layers. Holy crap.
With the cat back.
Holy crap, dude.
So
my brother did that once.
So we drove Carlo. So we drove to AutoZone and I got some JB Weld and dropped the exhaust in.
Oh my god.
That was great.
Quick story before Tim rolls into his haunted.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
My brother also burnt through a gas tank on his Monte Carlo because he had a rigged exhaust, as any kid does.
Yep.
And the funniest thing was he burnt through the gas tank, ran out of gas, walked miles down the road to a farmer who had gas, poured all the gas in.
And it went right out!
And he made it not 500 feet before it ran out of gas again.
Where did it all go?
He had a full day that day. Did not make it to school.
No. Nope.
That's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Well, Tim? The most hilarious part, Ryan, this is my older brother. I said, that's going to burn through the gas.
Ah, you told him!
Like, yeah, you should move that a little bit.
No. Yes. He's like, nah, I got it.
Nah, it's fine.
All right, Tim. Give us one regret.
It's got to be the DSM.
Yeah, it's definitely DSM. It's back when I was car stupid. Like, I was trying to be a car guy, but I was struggling.
So I'm glad you mentioned that. It's a little aggressive way of saying it, car stupid. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't mix up there. Car stupid with haunted. Is it the car's fault? Yeah. Because, seriously,
you're not wrong.
My most haunted car is just because I was car stupid.
I had a DSM, maybe. And that's how I got my job here. You know, I had a DSM that ran like 1240s back in like 2000, 2001.
That was
fast back then.
With you shifting it. With you shifting it.
Manual transmission, all-wheel drive. So like I'm racing like back then a fast V8 car would run like a 10.7. Like one of the fastest
at the track.
V8 guys.
At the track.
Like, that's like a new car. Obviously there were muscle cars running single digits, but the muscle car guys didn't really go out street racing. And if they did, like, they didn't invite spanks like me out there. Yeah, like, yeah. So I would go out and I raced this local guy with his 10.7 Camaro, and I beat him pretty good. He ran 10s, a lot of nitrous, on a dusty road. I'm a manual tranny, all-wheel drive car, and I'm just, like, walking all these guys. So that's how I ended up meeting Zoom, is I ran into him, and he wanted to race me in his GTP, and, you know, I won. And then he made some changes, then I raced, and I won again. And
Tim,
well,
Tim is never going to let Zoom live that down.
No,
forever.
He shouldn't. Yeah. Hell no, dude. If I beat Zoom, I wouldn't let him live it down either.
He ended up getting me in that car later with his Grand Prix, in all fairness. All but,
right. Yeah.
But
of Zoom's cars are still faster than my cars.
Fair.
So this, you know, this DSM, I started working for ZZP, making good money, you know, and I'm building this thing more and more. I had all the best parts. Like, some of you customers. Like, yeah. I had all the best parts. Like, I bought everything for Busher Racing. Their car ran, like, 1050s at the time. Like, I had all those parts on my car.
Pretty good.
Well, I bought so much stuff from them that they sent me an EEPROM chip for my DSM.
Ooh. Yeah, buddy.
Because it's not OBD2.
No,
you can't
chip,
tune
son.
That thing. It was a... I had to take my ECM out, desolder this chip, solder in an EEPROM receiver, and then put this EEPROM chip in it from Busher.
Air and fuel.
Yes. So they're like, here is the tune from our drag car. Run this. And I'm like, sweet. Like, for free. They gave it to me for free.
Heck yeah.
And I, like, put it in, and I blow a head gasket. And I'm like, ah. You know, and I had a tiny wastegate on it because I bought their race car parts. And when you have a tiny wastegate on a car, it doesn't let very much exhaust out. So you're stuck with, in my case at that time, 25 plus PSI. That's it. That's as low as
back then. That's a lot of boost.
It would start low, but then by RPM, it would just end up at 25.
Yep.
Well, I'm a poor, broke, like 20-year-old or 20-year-old. And I'm putting 93 in this car, right?
Oh, no.
And I'm popping head gas because I'm talking to Busher and they're like, blah, 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 you know, try race gas. And I'm like, you know, okay. And I'm like, I'm not going to put race gas in the car because I'm car stupid.
Yep.
And I just keep popping head gaskets. So this thing, like every other week, I'm putting a head gasket in it.
Yeah,
and
real good.
Finally,
at it.
I'm like, I can't afford to do this anymore. I'm like, what is the story of this EEPROM? And like, you guys have already figured it out, I'm sure. But like that EEPROM had timing advance put into the file. And then one of my tricks was to add timing advance with the cam angle sensor.
Yeah.
So they had timing advance and then I had timing advance. So,
so
I'm
you
just
were probably
wild
like
35
timing. Degrees at one
yeah.
or something.
Because it's not OBD2.
Hence the head gaskets.
Yeah.
It's not OBD2. There was no way for me to know.
That head gasket wanted to kill you.
Yeah.
All of them wanted your life.
So it was like a whole summer.
So here's the thing.
Like a whole
head gasket's
summer.
Like, I'm doing my job. EEPROM's like, I'm doing my job. The engine's like, I'm doing... Tim's like, yeah,
plus 10. Like plus 10 degrees. Oh,
the head gas is like,
every tuner is just like, oh man, I don't know this guy.
The crazy thing
and
is
I tuned some of your cars.
Well, the crazy thing is poor Tim's put this together in his head over the years as he gets wiser.
Yeah, it hurts
dude,
more and more.
Dude, the regret, regret eats this man's soul.
If Tim could teleport back to 20-year-old Tim with all his current knowledge,
yes.
Dude, he'd be the fastest.
He'd still be dumb fast.
The
yeah.
thing is, like, learn from that story. Every once in a while, just bring your car to ZZP. Like, if I would have handed my DSM off
Yo,
to Busher Racing,
up.
Like, I bought all these parts, and I can't floor it because every time I floor it, it blows up. Here, figure this out. And they'd be like, hey,
ding dong.
Ding dong. Ding dong. Ding dong. Here you go. Here's your
Busher, of the story. Busher would have caused you something a lot worse than that.
You know, part of the story, the man never stopped flooring it.
He never, never. He's like,
four head gaskets.
I'm really good until it blows up.
Yeah. Man, that car was like, that thing was so fast. Like,
well, they always are before the man.
Yeah, I'm going to say that they probably ran great right before it freaking blew up.
I remember the boost, 30 degrees of timing.
I had like a yoke. I did not have a 200 tread wear on it because they didn't have those
factors.
Yeah,
it didn't exist.
Yeah,
it didn't
but exist like at that. 70 miles an hour, if I grabbed third and hammered it, it would spin and drift the lanes. Like,
nice.
All four tires. All four tires. All wheel drive, welded differential. Like, it was a friggin' wild car. Wild car. And I never really got a chance to like, I never got a quarter mile time.
Yeah.
Like,
I kind of want to toss some stuff on it, but I don't want to hurt Tim's feelings right now. So,
so
real quick, not a crazy ghost story, but my worst car one was my Rivy. My Rivy was a sad story of just me being car ignorant. Crazy car ignorant.
Didn't know he had that beautiful machine.
I don't know about beautiful. That thing was not beautiful. It was like
H-bodies.
That thing was like a 300,000 mile L36 Rivy. So
nicest riding car he's ever had.
I can't deny that. Yeah. I can't deny that.
Especially if they're spent.
Dude, I put that car through I tried to kill that car. So this was me being car stupid. So it kept going through intake gaskets. But at times, ZZP had the metal ones. They kept putting plastic ones on there.
Oh,
they kept cracking. I feel that car's cylinder.
We didn't put the plastic ones on.
Yeah.
Whoever they were.
Yeah. The dealership and stuff like that.
Yeah.
ZZP did not do that. ZZP never worked on this. This is back when I was living in Chicago. So
I don't know why we didn't.
Yeah.
Because that was our specialty, but
it is pretty wild that Mr. Ryan Derrick, LNF boy, was coming here, but also had a Riv at home.
I drove the Riv here one time.
Bro, imagine if they accidentally modded the Riv and you were a 3800 guy?
Oh, dude, that would have been terrible.
Would have changed the trajectory.
Everything.
You could have altered the future of the world.
Well, no, I said, out there.
A supercharger kit or a turbo kit.
Out there, there is a doppelganger of me. There's a Derek Ryan. So we have a customer guy named Derek Ryan. He is Canadian, not black, and drives a 3800 Regal. And so,
River Regal.
It's a Regal. So yeah, he's out there. But very quickly, so I filled this thing's cylinders with coolant multiple times, like enough where it stopped running. Yeah. Like I tried to push. I'm like, I'm a Ford more. It'll get out of there. No, it did not do that. So I had to be towed back multiple times.
Clear out multiple times.
The rear right strut kept dying. So we just left it out. So you go over my, you hear that in the back. Every day,
I saw that yesterday.
Yeah. So also, when you get in the air, you know how everything droops? This one would droop like this. It was great. And eventually, I never knew what killed it until afterwards. I was talking to Tim, and we talked about it. I was like, dude, your fuel pump just died. I'm like, oh, I scrapped that car for like that because I was tired of it. Yeah, so that was my
poor moment. Rivy.
I hate that car. Rivy. Rest in peace, you polish.
I don't have any haunted stories.
You got no haunted cars? Nothing that like ate at you, even after you left you.
I took
you can tell the haunted story of your truck before you had it that you figured it out.
Oh yeah, you
I did
that.
Solve a haunted mystery.
There we go. All right,
All right, boys. It's Scooby doing the mystery machine. Go get him.
Yeah, the truck I was talking about earlier that runs our ZZP air filter. Got a really good deal on it because it did not run and it did not drive and it did not shift.
Tell them what was done.
Yeah.
It's a OBS square body. I'm going to use it so lightly so you guys don't. It's not a square body, but it's an OBS square body with a newer LS604 L80 swap. And I got it not running and driving up the road here, trailered at home. Didn't know what I was getting myself into, but I had the faith, you know. Mm-hmm. I was going to solve the haunting of it. Dude was like original owner.
Oh, nice.
LS swapped the truck over COVID. Couldn't ever figure it out. And he was just at his wit's end. I showed up. I'm like, oh, it probably needs a tune. Flashed a couple things on it. And I was like, oh, this is done Nina Tune.
No tuning problem.
But, you know, I'm there with the trailer. I ain't going to back down from no deal. Yeah. So I trailered it home and put it in the driveway, tinkered on it for 2 weeks. Turned out it didn't run because, I initially could tell it had an ignition issue. Mm-hmm. So sorting through the ignition system, all right, everything's cool. And we ran through all 200 ECM pins, and 199 and 200 were swapped. Well, 199 and 200 are 5 and 7 coil. So 5 and 7 coil were swapped at the ECM.
Yeah.
Harness, the $1,400 swap harness was built on a Friday.
Oh, literally, all the swap harnesses always are.
Literally,
they're always garbage.
Every time.
Literally, screw brother who built that harness because it ruined this guy's life with his truck. Yeah. Made mine.
Yeah, yours is great. Yours is great on that shit.
A very nice LS swap harness, and the last two pins are swapped. Buddy could never get it running because of it.
Dang.
So he did allude to the fact that it also had a transmission issue besides it didn't run.
Yep.
And he's like, I put in a Transgo HT2 shift kit in it. And I'm like, okay, the valve body was out and you don't really know much about transmissions since. So got it running and I'm sitting in the driveway. I'm like, man, it's got this weird 3000 RPM rev limiter. Well, it had a 3000 stall converter in it. That's because the transmission was in drive and park at the same time.
No. Oh.
And so I was like, obviously we need to get into the transmission. So I dropped the pan to pull the valve body down and I look in there and he did the whole HD2 shift kit, put the valve body back in, and then forgot to hook up the manual valve to the shift linkage. So the manual valve itself was in one, but the park sprawl was in park. So it was in D1 and park at the same time. So all I did was take a flathead screwdriver, hook the manual valve up to the shift linkage.
Good to go.
Put 10 quarts of new fluid in it. So I swapped two wires and hooked up the valve body. And I've driven the truck every day this week.
Yes, yeah. Yes. We call it Sandy.
Miles on it in 2 years.
Call it Sandy.
It rips the dunes and everything else. Yeah, so a haunted truck turned not haunted.
You Scooby-Dooed it. You missed your machine, dude.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's pretty crazy. Thanks to everything I've learned here and, you know, working around cars, just to be able to look at a truck that does not run and drive and... We were laughing because when we had nothing left to do as far as the ignition issue, and you know, just leaning on the truck, and I'm like, let's start looking at the ECM wires, and we're just going through, and there's 200 wires. We confirmed every one, and talk about losing hope at 198.
Oh yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
it can't be the last two.
199 and 200 are swapped, and I'm like, dude, you're kidding me. Like, stop messing with me. What's the color? You know, like, like you're fucking lying. And so we de-pinned them right there and just bow on the key. And I was like, no.
Wouldn't you love to go back to that moment of figuring that out right then, though?
Yep.
That euphoric moment of like, no, no. Tell me what color is that again? Like,
oh. Yeah, definitely greatest highs of my life. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because like, and that was the same thing when I dropped the pan and saw that the shifter linkage wasn't hooked to the valve body. Sarah's sitting in the garage, and I'm laying on the truck. I'm like, Sarah, we're driving it tonight. And she's like, what? And I'm like, he did hook up the valve body. And she's like, yeah! I'm like, no, I was like, give me a flathead screwdriver. Hook it up. And, it's been a great truck.
So... It's not quite the same, but one of my favorite stories, last thing, then we got to go, was when I picked up that silver HHR I bought a couple years ago.
Oh, that's a pretty good one.
Boosley go get you, brother.
And the guy on the listing's like, this thing's blown up. It's garbage. Everything's horrible. Blah, 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 blah. And I show up, and the guy's like, see? And he turns the key, and it's just like, and I was like, huh, all right. Pop the hood. Unplug the math. Before I started it, I was like, all right, I'll take it.
Yep, I'm going to say, because if you watch my top five videos, I literally say it every one on the L&F.
I give him the money, we sign the title, and I walk over to it and just fire it up and drive it into the trailer. It ran perfectly.
That guy.
And he was standing there like,
the guy's like, what?
What did you do? And I was like, got to boost like.
Yeah. So that was the cool part about when I fixed.
Time for Tyler Villa's EZP to go home.
Yeah. you got to, because that was actually a nice HHR. It was like, it's kind of a steal.
It was a little rusty.
That was the cool thing about when I fixed the Sandy, the truck, is I bought it and it was in the middle of June. It was right before 4th of July.
Yep.
And I remember putting it on the trailer. He's like, yeah, this and that and the other. He was a big Silver Lake guy. I was like, I'll see you at Silver Lake 4th of July. And he's like,
huh. Yeah.
And dude, I'm literally at Silverback buying stickers for it. And he pulls up while I'm sitting there. He's like, you weren't kidding. And I was like, yeah, dude. Funny story.
You told him too, didn't you? What'd he say? Okay, real quick, what'd he say?
What do you say?
I want to know. I want to play it out. Like, okay, you told him, hey, man, it was just two things swapped, and you forgot that. That was it.
I don't really honestly remember. I just remember his kids were there, too, and it was awkward. I was like, ah, sorry.
That makes sense.
Ah, sorry, I stole his truck from you.
I fixed
it with
a flathead. I fixed two wires and hooked up the valve body you forgot to hook up, and I'm going to go put on a rev limiter in the sand.
I want some whoops right now.
Yeah.
Oh, God,
that's tragic. And on that note.
R5R1 says we got to go, Gonk Dog.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Make sure to hop on our Instagram and our Facebook. Vote for your favorite costume.
It better be me.
Next time will be post Black Friday, which is scary to think about.
Holy cow!
It will be on. No, we're not doing it on Black Friday.
No, it'll be next one. But anyway, thanks for joining us. Have a good Halloween. Catch you next time. Peace.